the kingdom of Lut. It relates to the Bani Israel. And we hear about the Bani Israel, the people of Israel. Yeah? And they used to have a system. They used to have a system of a government, and it used to run in such a way that there would always be a king among them who would operate the administrative matters, and there'd also be a prophet amongst them who used to guide the people about the laws of Sharia and the religious ruling. So they'd always have a king who would like rule the country, and they would always have a prophet amongst them. It has been established since long that the kingdom would be from the lineage of Hazrat Ya'ud ibn Yaqub, and the prophethood would always be from the lineage of Sayyidina Lawi bin Yaqub. When Sayyidina Shamwil alayhi salam was blessed with the prophethood, there was no king at the time, and the people of Bani Israel requested them to appoint someone as a king for them. Then following the commandment of Allah Azza wa Jal, Sayyidina Shamwil alayhi salam appointed Talut as a king, who was a highly scholarly among the Bani Israel and had a strong build, but he was very poor. So Sayyidina Shamwil alayhi salam, he appointed Talut as the king. Now Talut, he was a person of great knowledge. He was a person of great strength. But one thing he didn't have was he didn't have a lot of wealth. He didn't have this prestigious background that people think he should have had. For his living, what he used to do is, he used to tan leather and he used to herd goats. So he was like, he had a simple life, but he was a very knowledgeable person and he was a very powerful person. Now what happened was, the Bani Israel, they actually raised an objection to this. Now this person, this Talut, he's not from a royal kingship. He's not from a royal family. So how can he possibly be the king? They themselves thought, you know, we are more deserving. We are more deserving as kingship, as we belong to a royal family, a royal tribe. And since Talut did not possess any wealth, so how is it that a poor person can actually be our king? Sayyidina Shamwil al-Islam, he then delivered the Quranic sermon. He said that Allah Azza wa Jalla said, he said, Allah has chosen him above you, and he has bestowed him with vast knowledge and physique. And Allah may bestow his kingdom on whoever he wills. And Allah is most capable, all-knowing. And the Prophet said to them, the sign of his kingdom will be the coming of a wooden box to you, in which from your Lord is the contentment of the hearts. This is translation from Kanzul Iman, Surah Baqarah, verse 247 and 248. Once he recited this verse in front of the people, thereafter a short while, four angels came with a box and placed it near Sayyidina Shamwil al-Islam. Seeing this, the Bani Israel accepted the kingship of Talut, and he became the king. Talut did not take control of the government system of the country, but also recruited new military personnel and went for the holy wars against the pagans of the Amliki tribe. And Allah Azza wa Jalla has described this event in the Holy Quran as such. And I give you the translation from Kanzul Iman, Surah Al-Baqarah. And the Prophet said to them, the sign of his kingdom will be the coming of a wooden box to you, in which from your Lord is the contentment of hearts and containing some relics. Holy relics left behind by the Honorable Sayyidina Musa al-Islam and Sayyidina Harun al-Islam, carried by the angels. Indeed, it is a great sign for you if you are believers.
SubhanAllah.
So this is the actual event. And from this, there are quite a few Madani pools that Allah can decide to bestow his blessings on whoever he wishes. Yeah? Another Madani pool that you get from this particular one is that, you know, we always think that certain individuals should be given status because of their wealth. Where instead, they should be given status because of the knowledge. Knowledge is more important than wealth. Knowledge is more important than your family background and who you are.
Khalid, it's a very interesting point you make, because this is a disease which is prevalent in society today. Do you know, a rich person, when you sat in a gathering, a rich person, he may be a bin namazi, he may not have a clue about how to do wuzu or ghusl. He comes in, everybody will stand up and meet him. And your local imam comes in, and nobody flinches an eyelid.
Yeah.
And this is, it's a shame. Why? Because we regard, basically what the ayat of the Quran is telling us not to do. The Bani Israel were saying, well, he's not wealthy. He's a poor person. But Allah Azza wa Jalla said, yes, but he has this great knowledge. And they didn't challenge his knowledge. They just said he didn't have the wealth. And the Quran teaches us that wealth doesn't mean anything. Mm-hmm. It's the knowledge. And we should respect people, because, and unfortunately today, you know, what we do is our whole mindset evolves around, and our respect for somebody evolves around how much money they've got, how many properties they've got. And if we feel that this person is very wealthy and well-connected and he may benefit me in the future, Give him all the respect. And even if he's a learned scholar, he's a mufti of Islam, but I think he can't help me personally. He's not going to give me. And we won't. And that is where our basic bibarakati problem
is. Just to put a practical example, there was a brother, he told me, he used to work at one of these stores that sell electrical goods. And so the uniform was that he had to wear a shirt and trousers and a tie, yeah? And for the Jummah, he came and read the Jummah, and he obviously had the shirt, the tie, and the trousers on. So he came in and sat in the masjid, and it was a new masjid because he'd just got this new job there. And you know when they passed the chadar around, he went for his wallet and he pulled it out and he thought, you know, I'll pull out £5. You know, for barakat, I'll give £5 today, yeah? Which unfortunately very few people even give him this much. So he pulled out his wallet and the smallest note was a £20 note. So he thought to himself, you know what, I've made an intention. I'm going to need to keep it now. Yeah? I shouldn't put this £20 back in my pocket. I should give it. Good about it. Allah ki rahmat de dete hai, theek hai. So when the child is coming around, he put £20 in it. So he forgot about it. Next week he went to the masjid and when he walked through, oh, Dr. Sahab, aap kaise hain, Dr. Sahab. He thought, what about, I'm not a doctor. And they thought that because he put, you know, because he had this attire, they thought he must be, you know, a high flying professional. Yeah, he wasn't somebody that was just a salesman at a local shop. So again, this is the perception that we have that, you know, we respect these people because of what money they put in the chadar. Yeah. We don't respect these people for the knowledge that they have. Unfortunately, today we see, you know, not only here everywhere that, you know, our imams of our masjids, you know, they're not given the respect that they are due. You know, it's the controlling figures of the committee of the masjid that have the control. The alim adeens, we don't give them the respect that they are due. The madri, the muftis, what are the muftis? Who is a mufti? You know, we give them no respect whatsoever. Yeah, we talk to them in such a manner that is very degrading. We don't respect them. And we should learn. And if you learn from the stories of the pious people of the past, then they will tell you, you know, the value of knowledge and how much respect we should give to those people that
I
have
think
the knowledge.
It's a thinking problem, Khalid Bey, because, you know, these days, for example, you know, we never think, I will take my child and I will make him into an alim adeen. We always think, I wish he's a big businessman, I wish he's a doctor, I wish he's a barrister, I wish he's an engineer. But what we should be thinking is, I wish my son was an alim adeen. Yes, he can do the dunyavi stuff, nothing stops you doing that. But, you know, he's got knowledge of deen, he's got understanding of deen, he can read the Quran, he knows what respect of parents is. There's that famous kind of story where there was three mothers who were filling up some water, and you know, the one of the sons went past and she said, that's my son, and he said, hi mum, and went, and then there was a second one, and her son, she said, my son's doing a degree or something, and the second one came past and said, Ami, are you okay, and he went off, and the third one, he saw his mother, he came running over, he kissed her hands, he said, Ami, what are you doing here, I'm going to watch, okay, give it to me, you take this, he put the water on his head, he said, Ami, let's walk back, I'll walk you back home, and he said, what does your son do, and she said, he's becoming an Almidi.
Allah Akbar.
He's learning, and he knew what the status of a mother was. So he said, wherever I'm going, whatever I'm doing, the most important thing for me now is to respect my mum and help her out. And the others were sat there, you know, in the narration, it was like they were amazed. You know, they felt that we'd missed something, and they had. What they had missed is the basic Islamic teachings. Because, you know, your child might become an engineer, might become a doctor, might become a barrister, but if he doesn't respect you and treat, you know, these days the Taqiyya Kalam is old man and old woman, then you're going to sit there, as a lot of people do, and think, where did I go wrong? And where we do go wrong is we fail to teach them the Quran and the Sunnah.